All right, let's light the fuse on a case that's sure to spark some debate.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, we always say competition can get really fiery, but this one takes it to a whole new level. We're diving into the world of fireworks, high stakes, bright lights, and some serious legal fireworks going off.
And that's because it's not just about the spectacle you see in the sky, right? It's about the behind-the-scenes battle over valuable information.
Exactly. We're talking Pyro Spectaculars North, Inc. versus SUSE. A case that really boils down to a company trying to protect what they consider their secret formula for success, their closely guarded customer intel, against a former employee who walked away with it.
You hit the nail on the head. It's a classic David and Goliath situation, but with a pyrotechnic twist. And it raises some really intriguing questions for anyone interested in business law, especially for you future lawyers out there. Like, how do we balance a company's right to protect its sensitive data with the principles of free competition?
That's the crux of it. And this case digs deep into that very tension. So we'll be looking at actual court documents, specifically court opinions, but also peeling back the layers on some common business practices, like how companies manage those all-important customer relationships.
Oh, and of course, no deep dive would be complete without a healthy dose of legal frameworks.
Right. We've got the California Uniform Trade Secrets Act, often referred to as CUTSA, taking center stage.
And then there's the ever-present Business and Professions Code section 16600, which, as many of you know, really lays down the law on those non-compete agreements.
Absolutely. So to set the scene, we've got Pyro Spectaculars North, or PSI, the big player in the fireworks game, decades of experience under their belt.
Years and years of meticulously building relationships, understanding customer needs, and refining their craft.
Precisely. And they documented all of that in what they called booking forms, detailed records of, well, everything.
Think customer budgets, the types of displays they prefer, what really wows them, even those nitty-gritty logistical details like what kind of qualifications do the drivers need?
Yeah, it's serious business. And PSI considered these booking forms a gold mine of proprietary information.
It's that secret sauce you were talking about. Years of accumulated business intelligence, all compiled into this treasure trove of data.
Now enter Steven Souza. He worked for PSI for a while, had access to all these precious booking forms.
And before making a move to a competitor, J&M Displays, he allegedly made copies of a good chunk of this data, not just a few stray notes, mind you, but a significant portion.
Yeah, a move that PSI was not thrilled about, to say the least. So they filed suit against SUSE, claiming he misappropriated their trade secrets. They wanted the court to issue what's called a preliminary injunction.
Right, a kind of legal timeout, if you will. It's meant to prevent SUSE and his new company from using that information while the bigger legal battle plays out.
Okay, so for our listeners who are really digging into this stuff in law school right now, think about this. How does a court actually decide what qualifies as a legally protected trade secret, especially in a state like California that's known for being pretty pro-competition?
And that's the million-dollar question. Because, as you said, California generally dislikes those non-compete agreements. It's got it baked into their legal DNA.
It is. So how do you square that with a company's desire, even their need, to protect their hard-earned advantages?
Exactly. That's the puzzle we're piecing together today. And to crack the code, we need to understand how the court applied these legal principles. We'll see how they determined whether customer information, even something that might seem pretty basic on the surface, can actually rise to the level of a trade secret under California law.
So let's start with what PSI argued. They said, look, these booking forms, they're valuable precisely because we've kept them confidential. It's not like they were just pulling this info from public websites. This was their own internal system.
Right. And they were very clear. This wasn't just a list of names and numbers. It represented years of building relationships, understanding exactly what makes each customer tick, what makes them come back for more.
It was the culmination of their expertise, essentially.
Exactly. Now, Souza countered that. He argued, hey, a lot of this stuff, you could figure it out by looking at public records or just talking to customers.
But that argument kind of misses the point, doesn't
And it
it?
does. Because think about it. Even if some of the individual pieces of information might be out there, PSI had already done the heavy lifting. They spent years compiling, organizing, and analyzing all that raw data into a usable format.
That's a huge time and resource saver for anyone trying to muscle into the market.
Huge. That's what PSI was trying to protect.
And the court actually used a really interesting analogy to describe this, calling PSI's booking forms program a virtual encyclopedia of customer information.
I love that. because it paints such a vivid picture. Each individual entry might not be groundbreaking on its own, but together they form this comprehensive, valuable resource.
It's like having a cheat sheet, you know? You don't have to start from scratch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, here's another layer to this whole trade secret thing. CTSA, the California Uniform Trade Secrets Act, says a company can't just claim something's a secret. They have to show they've actually taken steps to keep it that way.
Right. They have to walk the walk.
Exactly. And PSI did take some measures, right? They had employees, including SUSE, sign those non-disclosure agreements.
They tried to limit who had access to those booking forms.
Now, the court acknowledged that, okay, maybe PSI security wasn't Fort Knox level.
No system is perfect, right.
Right. But they said it was enough to show that PSI was serious about keeping this information confidential, that they weren't just leaving it out in the open for anyone to grab.
So the court seemed pretty convinced that these booking forms likely qualified as trade secrets under the law.
They did. But then comes the next hurdle. Did SUSE's actions actually qualify as misappropriation? Because remember, that's another key element here.
Right. Taking something is one thing, but legally, did he misappropriate it?
Exactly. Well, SUSE reportedly admitted to making copies of the information. And according to PSI, he then gave it to J&M Displays so they could use it to compete with his former employer.
Not a great look.
No, not at all. And that's pretty much a textbook example of misappropriation under CUTSA. The law says it's not just about how you get the trade secret. It's also about what you do with it. If you know or should know it was acquired improperly and you go ahead and use it anyway, you're in trouble.
Got it. So we've got potential trade secrets. We've got potential misappropriation. But what did PSI actually want the court to do about it?
They wanted more than just a slap on the wrist. They wanted that preliminary injunction to stop SUSE from using the information, period.
And that's where things get really tricky in a state like California, right? Because how do you protect the company without stepping on the employee's right to work?
Precisely. And to get that injunction, PSI had to convince the court that they would suffer irreparable harm if SUSE was allowed to continue using the information.
So we're not just talking about losing a few bucks here, right?
No, it has to be something that money can't fix.
Mm.
And PSI's argument was basically, look, if our customers start going to J&M because SUSE's using our playbook, we lose those relationships, our reputation takes a hit, and there's no way to calculate exactly how much damage that does to us.
It's the long-term impact, the potential for lasting damage that's hard to measure.
Right. And the court agreed with them. They said, yeah, it's really difficult to put a dollar amount on losing those hard-earned customer relationships and the competitive edge you've built over time.
But even then, California is famously wary of anything that smells like a non-compete agreement. So how did the court thread that needle?
Carefully, that's for sure. They were very aware of California's stance on non-competes, and they didn't want to issue a blanket ban on SUSE working in the fireworks industry. That would be too extreme.
So what did they do?
They took a much more targeted approach. They said, okay, we're going to issue a limited injunction just for a specific period of time.
A kind of surgical strike. Focusing on the specific harm.
Yes, and that's a really important point for law students to grasp. California courts are much more likely to accept an injunction if it's narrowly tailored to address a specific problem rather than a broad prohibition that could stifle someone's entire career.
So what did this surgical strike injunction look like?
The court basically said SUSE couldn't proactively solicit any of the specific PSI customers he personally worked with for 6 months. It was all about preventing him from directly leveraging those existing relationships and the inside knowledge he'd gained.
So he couldn't go knocking on their doors, so to speak.
Right. No cold calls, no email saying, hey, remember me, come to J&M now. But, and this is crucial, the injunction didn't prevent him from responding if those customers reached out to him first.
So if they came to him, he was allowed to work with them.
Exactly. And he was still allowed to work with them on any existing contracts that were already in place.
And he could go after new customers who had never worked with PSI before.
Precisely. It was a really specific restriction aimed at preventing the misuse of those potentially stolen trade secrets without shutting SUSE out of the market entirely.
So it was a partial win for PSI. They got some protection, but not a total shutdown of the competition.
Right. And I think it really highlights how California courts try to balance those competing interests, protecting legitimate business interests while still upholding the principles of free competition and an individual's right to work.
So if you zoom out a bit, what are the bigger lessons for law students listening in? What should they be taking away from this Pyro Spectaculars case?
Well, first off, the virtual encyclopedia idea is a really important one. Just because individual bits of information might be out there in the world doesn't mean a carefully compiled and organized collection of that information can't be considered a trade secret.
It's the way it's all put together that creates the value.
Exactly. It's the insights you gain from having all that data in one place.
And PSI didn't have perfect security, but the court was still willing to grant them some protection.
Right. That's a good reminder that you don't need to have an impenetrable fortress to protect your trade secrets. Just show you're taking reasonable steps to keep the information confidential, like those non-disclosure agreements, and limiting who has access.
And of course, the big elephant in the room is California's strong stance against non-compete agreements.
Absolutely. But this case shows us that courts will sometimes allow limited injunctions, especially if they're focused on preventing the misuse of specific identifiable trade secrets.
But it has to be a scalpel, not a sledgehammer.
Exactly. It needs to be narrowly tailored, like that 6-month no solicitation order, to address the specific harm caused by the potential misappropriation.
And I think this case really shows how much weight courts give to the potential for irreparable harm. They want to see that if they don't step in, the damage will be lasting and difficult to undo.
Exactly. And they have to weigh that harm against the burden they're placing on the defendant. It's a delicate balancing act, for sure.
So while this specific case involved fireworks, I think the principles at play here are relevant to so many different industries, especially in California, where these issues come up all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, think about software companies, marketing agencies, any business that relies on confidential information to maintain its competitive edge. They all face similar challenges when employees leave and potentially take that information with them.
Right. So for our listeners, the future legal eagles out there, think about this. How could a software company, say, with its algorithms and source code, or a marketing firm with its strategies and client data, protect themselves in a situation like this?
Yeah, what steps could they take to protect their information while still respecting employee rights? And how might these legal principles play out in different contexts?
It's definitely food for thought and something to keep in mind as you navigate the legal landscape.
It certainly is.
All right, that's a wrap on this explosive episode, folks.
Ooh, I think you got a knack for these sign-offs.
You're too kind. Until next time, everyone.
See you then.